All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. Once you find John chapter 12, then turn to Acts chapter 24. John 12, and then Acts chapter 24. I'm just going to read one verse in John. Verse 48, John 12, 48. I want you to pay attention to Jesus' words here. And then we're going to turn over to Acts chapter 24, and that'll be our text for tonight, but we'll see how Jesus' words are experienced and lived out in a man that we read about in Acts 24. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus states here that he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words is going to be judged by that same word in the last day. And here the implication is that God is giving a chance, an opportunity, and the words of God and the words of truth are being expressed, and there's an opportunity to receive it. But Jesus says he that rejects it is going to be judged by that same word in the last day. Now turn over to Acts chapter 24. It's a familiar passage, but one where our text here speaks of a man who experienced and lived out Jesus' words of John chapter 12, of receiving the word but rejecting it. In Acts 24, in verse 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Here the Bible expresses to us a man who received the word of God, who had ample opportunity to, more than once, several times. The Bible says that he communed with Paul and sent for him the oftener. And yet, what we read is that Felix said, "When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." Felix was the Roman governor of Judea. Felix, in our context here, is listening to the Apostle Paul preach concerning faith in Christ, the Bible says in verse 24. So it's very specific. Here Paul is speaking concerning faith in Christ. And as Paul preaches the gospel, the Bible says that Felix is moved within him, because verse 25 says that he preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled at what he heard. And so he was moved within him by the words that he hears from the Apostle Paul. And tonight I want to look in on this scene here that takes place as Paul preaches to Felix. And the words that Paul uses to Felix were full of meaning then, and they're still full of meaning even today. And I want you to see some reasons why the words that Paul used were so powerful in this man's life. And even consider tonight how the words that we speak for the Lord to others can make the difference in all eternity. And whether or not someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ by the words that we speak isn't really the point. The point is that God is giving an opportunity for someone to receive truth. But Jesus said, "Those who reject the words that I give you," or that I give, "are going to be judged by that same word in the last day." I want us to pray here, and then I'm going to speak to you on this subject, "He that receiveth not my words." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts even tonight with the word of God and the Spirit of God, and Lord, that you'd challenge us, those who are saved, in our personal witness. Lord, make us wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Make us bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would be convicted in our own heart of our need to be a personal witness for the Lord to those that we know and those that are around us. And Lord, I do pray as well for those among us tonight who are not saved. Lord, that you would even work in their heart to bring them to a place of repentance before God. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things we're going to look at tonight concerning the words that Paul spoke to Felix. The Bible says that Felix heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And so Paul is preaching. And the things that Paul says, some of these words confronted Felix. Some of these words concerned Felix. But then lastly, these words condemned Felix. And I want us to look at all three of these tonight. First of all, consider in verse 25 that some of these words confronted Felix. Because verse 25 says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Here, some of these words confronted Felix. The Bible tells us here that Paul reasoned with Felix and his wife Drusilla. The word reasoned means to say thoroughly. It means to discuss, and it really means to preach. And so we get a clear picture here that Paul is not just, you know, having a conversation with Felix. He's reasoning with him. He's thoroughly discussing this, but he's preaching to him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Paul is using the time that he has with the governor to declare unto him the truth concerning the gospel. He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Paul's preaching the gospel to Felix here very clearly. In fact, it seems as though that's the reason for which Paul was sent for anyway. Because Felix on purpose sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. But as Paul preached, there are two areas of this sermon, if you want to call it that, that served as a direct confrontation to the life of Felix. These words confronted him because Paul preached unto him of righteousness and temperance. Paul preached about righteousness to Felix. The word means equity of character. It means specifically justification. And so Paul is preaching of righteousness. It refers to the state of being right with God. It's what God is, technically. God is righteous. And so he's preaching to him of God's moral and spiritual purity. He's preaching to him of God's person and God's character, who God is, righteousness. Paul preached about the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous. Psalm 50 and verse 6, And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It's talking about moral and spiritual purity. It's talking about God's holiness. Let me say this to you, friend, not that people in this room would act this way, but sometimes we get a little flippant about God and about His holiness and about His character. And God is not just the man upstairs. God is holy. He is righteous. He's almighty. And God is love. Yes, He is. But God is so holy and so righteous that He cannot even look upon sin. Man is altogether sinful. Man cannot enter into the presence of God in his own goodness or upon his own merit, because God is righteous and holy and pure. And this is what people need to hear today. That God is holy, that God is pure, that He cannot even look on sin. Man is altogether sinful, and God is altogether holy and righteous. Paul preached about the fact that God is righteous, but certainly he preached about the fact that this righteous God hates sin. Romans 1:18 says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who suppress the truth, who have the truth, who have opportunity for the truth, but they don't let it work in their life. That is even unrighteous and sinful. And the wrath of God is revealed against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Paul preached to Felix concerning righteousness, God's righteousness and God's holiness, who also hates sin, that God is holy, man is unholy, God is pure, man is impure, God is sinless, man is sinful, God is righteous, man is unrighteous. And I think Paul pointed out the truth to Felix that man, including Felix, specifically him, is a sinner, and he stands condemned in the eyes of a righteous God. The bottom line is this. Felix is brought face to face with the fact that he is lost, that he is condemned, and that he needs a Savior, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think Felix was made painfully aware that he is not righteous, and he has no righteousness of his own. And he cannot stand in the presence of a holy God without being condemned. I wonder if these words began to work in Felix's heart and his mind, because he was anything but righteous. In fact, Felix was noted in his day for excessive sinful living. And that's saying a lot in an ancient Roman Empire. Amen? He engaged. History tells us that Felix was a man who engaged in much immorality. He maintained his power through brutality and through murder. Felix was not a good person. Felix was a wicked man. Maybe these words that Paul preached to him concerning righteousness began to work in his heart, that he stands condemned before God. But maybe these words are also speaking to your heart tonight. None of us will ever get to heaven unless we possess the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which can only be ours through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not righteous ourselves. We're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But let me make another application here. It's important to keep in mind that when we are witnessing, saints of God, when we're being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important to keep in mind that a person will not seek to be saved unless they first understand that they're lost. There's no reason to seek the Lord if they don't understand that they're lost. In fact, that's the purpose of the law, to show us our sinfulness, to show us that we fall short, to show us that we miss the mark. Listen, this is why easy believism and no real repentance is so dangerous and so ungodly, because it deceives men into thinking that they're okay with God. The first thing that Paul did when he preached to Felix was declare God's holy standard of righteousness. This would show him that he's missed the mark. And it's the same thing that we need to do. So much of evangelism is so watered down today. And a fear of offending people, or a fear of what people might say, or even being rejected or not being liked. And we just talk, you know, the evangelism wants to talk about the love of God and wants to talk about faith in Jesus. And there's no declaring the holy standard of God that shows us how sinful we are and how we fall short and how condemned we are. No one's going to seek after the Lord if they don't first understand that they're lost. And Paul declared God's holy standard to Felix. We're told also that Paul preached about temperance in verse 25. He reasoned, preached of righteousness, temperance. This word means self-control. And when Paul preached about righteousness, he was dealing with the character and the nature of Felix, that he's naturally sinful. But when he's talking about temperance, he's talking about their conduct or how they live before men. When Paul begins to speak of temperance and self-control, man, he hits Felix right between the eyes about how he behaves and about his actions. And just as Felix was lacking in the righteousness department, he was severely lacking in the self-control or temperance department. Felix, history tells us, was married 3 times. He lived a life of drunken parties. History tells us that Felix was always deep in debt and that he was always in trouble with the Emperor Nero because of his brutality. But the text also refers to his wife Drusilla. She was there too. She was his third wife. Together they lived a life of open sin and terrible wickedness. And Paul's words here must have stung them. It must have really got to the heart. Maybe he even called out their sin by name. But when Paul addressed Felix, he was also speaking to Drusilla, and he was speaking to a couple who were morally bankrupt and thoroughly evil. One of the tragedies of modern day evangelism is that few people are confronted by the Word of God concerning their lifestyle and their sin. Many people flee from saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and using the Word of God because it's so confrontational. I mean, a lot of evangelism has really washed over and glossed over the fact that the Word of God clearly says that homosexuality is a sin. When the Word of God comes in, though, it's quick and it's powerful. It's alive. And what does it do? It brings with it conviction. Amen? And conviction is the first step towards repentance, towards being saved. Society and much of evangelism today tries to sanitize sin to make it not look as bad and to make people feel better about how they're living. You know, lying has become a credibility gap. It's not a lie anymore. Sodomy has become an alternative lifestyle. The murderous practice of abortion has become a woman's right to choose. Sanitizing. Whitewashing. So that people feel better about themselves. And the fact of the matter is, though, God is the standard, and God has one word that sums it all up. Sin. And this is what Paul confronted Felix with, his own sin. Preaching of God's righteousness, God's holy standard, and temperance. How bad he falls short. His conduct is sinful. Some of the words that Paul used confronted him, but some of the words concerned him. Because verse 25 says, after Paul preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled. We're told that Paul preached about judgment to come. He told Felix and Drusilla that there was coming a day when they would face this righteous, holy God who hates sin, and they would face Him in judgment if they didn't repent. Certainly, he must have told them that the wages of sin is death. If he preached about judgment to come, certainly he told them that the wages of sin is death. Certainly he told them about the judgment of God in the lake of fire or hell. Maybe he preached to them concerning how the lake of fire is a place of a fire that is unquenchable. It's a place of misery. It's a place of pain, frustration, and anger. It's a place of eternal separation from God. It's a place of undiluted wrath. And my friend, in hell, in the lake of fire, God's fury will be unleashed for all eternity. Paul preached to Felix concerning judgment to come, and the Bible says that Felix trembled. He probably told them about the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to turn over there and read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, this scene. Revelation 20, 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I can imagine Paul standing before Felix, reasoning, preaching, pleading with him concerning his own sinfulness and the judgment of God that is going to come on his life if he doesn't repent of his sin. And as Paul preached concerning this judgment to come, the Bible says that Felix trembled. And we don't know exactly what it was that Paul preached. He preached concerning the faith in Christ. But whatever it was that Felix heard, it made him tremble. The word means to be thrown into fear, to become terrified. And I wonder if Felix, for the very first time in his life, understood the truth that he was lost. He was abiding under the wrath of a holy and righteous God. And I wonder if he came to see that he was in serious trouble with God. Felix was under conviction. He heard the word. He was under conviction. He was at the point where he had to make a decision to respond to the Lord or to reject the words. You know, when it comes to our soul winning and our evangelism, you know what? We need to tell sinners that without Christ, there is a fearful, certain, eternal judgment that is coming for them. Felix trembled. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to sinners to produce through the preached word of God conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. And people need to hear that they're sinful, that God is going to judge them. And there is certain, as much as you're alive today in hearing these words, there is judgment coming on your sin for all eternity. People need to hear this. It can't be watered down, and we can't be offensive in our manner, but we certainly need to be bold with the truth. Here's another vital soul-winning lesson. We must always rely on the Holy Spirit of God to bring that conviction of sin. It's not my job to use my words or the way that I would try to describe it. It's my job to give the Word of God. Simply say, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's what the Word of God says. And I rely on the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God to bring the conviction to the heart of men. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. We need to remember that when we're speaking with people. But I would also make the application tonight for some sitting here. Maybe these are the words that you need to hear. That certain eternal judgment is coming for you, and you stand condemned before God if you don't repent of your sin. Let me ask you this. How does it make you feel, friend, when you hear about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come? Does it cause you to tremble in the presence of God? Maybe you sit there tonight fully aware of the fact that you are lost, and you need to be saved. You've got a choice to make. To receive the word of Jesus Christ, or to be condemned and judged by it. The last thing, if you look back in Acts chapter 24, is that some of these words condemned Felix. Because verse 25 tells us that as Paul reasoned or preached of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that Felix trembled. He was under conviction. But here's what his answer was. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix was being convicted of his sin by the word of God. It made him tremble. But he made a terrible and fateful decision that day because he sent Paul away and said, when I have a convenient time, I'll call for thee. Well, from looking at all that history tells us about this man, neither he nor Drusilla ever came to that more convenient day. 2 years after this event, Felix was called back to Rome to face Nero for his brutality and his harsh ways. He was discredited. History says that he was removed from power. And history also says that he probably killed himself, died at his own hand, discredited and disgraced. There's no indication that he ever came to faith in Jesus Christ. You can read a little bit about Drusilla, too, in history. History says she died in 79 AD when Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried the city of Pompeii. It appears that she, too, died lost. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. So much opportunity. Here, hearing the preaching, being convicted in his soul, trembling, knowing his condition, and even calling for Paul many more times after that, and yet he never came to know the Lord. It was the words of God that convicted Felix, but it was his own words, words from his own mouth that condemned him. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He died lost because he chose to. It may be, even tonight, that there's someone here who's convicted by the Word of God. If so, it's up to you to say yes or to say no to the call of God. God's words can confront you. They may concern you. But in the end, it'll be your own words that would condemn you. See, where a person spends eternity is ultimately up to them. Because God is not willing that any should perish. And God gives light to every man that cometh into this world somehow. And so ultimately, where a person spends eternity is up to them. There is no convenient time other than now, when the Spirit of God and the Word of God speaks. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to do business with God tonight. If you're here and you're a child of God, take these lessons. There are souls around us that are bound for eternity every second of every day. Are we being a faithful witness? Are we being true to the Word of God? Do we preach righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come? And concern for their soul. Let's just take a minute and let's pray tonight. And you might be here and you may not be saved. If God is speaking in your heart, you need to respond to the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word again, as we always do. How it's alive. How it's powerful. How it cuts and divides and gets right to the heart of the matter. It discerns the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. Lord, there are some here tonight who are not saved, and they know it. And like Felix, they've heard concerning the faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come has been preached to them. And maybe also like Felix, they continue to say, when I have a more convenient time. Father, what tragic, condemning words. And Lord, I pray that you would deal with hearts according to your will tonight. And Lord, that no one would leave this place lost. May there be a humble response to the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray for the saints of God. Lord, we need to be reminded again of our purpose to always be encouraged, to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ, and to be bold with the truth, but speak the truth in love, to be concerned and burdened for the souls of men all around us. Lord, there are some who have family members who are facing death. Their mortality is ever present. Lord, I pray that you'd give them grace and boldness to speak of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, out of love and care for their soul. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be busy and faithful, serving and witnessing. For the time of the Lord is drawing near, and that judgment day is coming. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage and challenge your people here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.